Welcome to show number 126 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. Yo, what is happening, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. We are back again for another time this week. I think this, or the second time in about a week. And I'm happy to be here. Hopefully you guys sit back, relax. We're going to talk about sports cards. Again, nothing really super news breaking here, any innovating type of topics. In fact, I went back and looked at some topics I've talked about in the past and I've on previous podcasts. Since we're almost in our fifth year, sixth, I can't remember. Well, we've done 126 of them. That's all you get, I guess you need to know. But I went back and looked and saw like topics we talked about maybe a while ago, and I wanted to revisit them. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. There's been two baseball sets that, by the time you listen to this, they're both live right now, but by the time you listen to this, you might have checked that out more in depth, is that Panini USA Baseball, two very different sets, as it is, I guess, from afar, I was thinking about this, from afar, like maybe your friends that don't collect or people you know that don't collect, Panini USA Baseball and Topps Archive Baseball could look like just baseball cards to anybody. But when you're in the hobby and you listen to sports card podcasts and you're on forums and Twitter and stuff like that and Facebook and wherever at card shops, there is a big difference. And so we'll talk about kind of those two sets and what's going on with them. We'll talk about back on show number 11. I think that was back in like January 2009, which seems like ages ago. We talked about player worn and game use versus game use, like the difference between the two. And I think maybe 3 or 4 years have passed, so we'll talk about it again. And maybe my opinion has changed. I don't know. I didn't go back and listen to the show. I don't recommend you doing that, since who knows the quality of the programming you might find. But you know, we'll talk about that. Player worn versus game use. Maybe how the companies are using them now and if there's any kind of differences to my opinions back then. Finding prospects or buying when they're hot. My brother was at, I don't know if I said this on the show before, my brother was at the industry summit and he's seen this guy and we've seen him at other card shows and stuff like that. A big buyer. He likes to buy and sell. And one of the things my brother overheard him saying was that he made a ton of money on Colin Kaepernick, made a ton of money on these, on like Bryce Harper when he gets called up and stuff. He's making money when the guys are hot. He's not buying them before that, but once the guy starts popping off, then he starts buying and selling. So it made me really think, wow, that's an interesting strategy. Don't buy it before he breaks out. Buy it when he breaks out, hoping he continues to roll, and then you parlay and keep selling cards up the ladder, kind of like you could have done with Colin Kaepernick last season during football. So I thought that was interesting. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll also talk a little bit about buying and selling on Check Out My Cards. I don't know if we've talked about this. I think I just sold I'm over 50,000 cards sold, and I think I've sold $20,000 worth. Now you might think, wow, I have $20,000 sitting in my Check Out My Cards account, or I've withdrawn all this money. No, absolutely not. When you look at your sales number, it even made me think about this a little bit. When you look at your sales numbers on Check Out My Cards, you're rolling money over and over and over again. And so, yeah, you might have a lot of sales, but you might sell the same kind of 5 cent card several times and make a penny on it. So, yeah, you had several sales, but you're only making maybe a penny or even losing money on some sales. So out of 20,000, you could probably put a 1%, you know, might have made 1 or 2% maybe in terms of profit. I certainly didn't put a whole lot of money into the site. I did put a lot of cards and certainly a lot of time. So I'll talk about Check Out My Cards because that is a decent amount of cards. Spent a bit of time on it. I think it's been several years, 2-3 years that we've been buying and selling on the site. So I'll talk about that. And if we have time, I'll talk about, we'll see if we have time. I'll talk about driving traffic to your website. I think in 3 or 4 years, it's changed so much. When I first started Sports Card Radio, you know, there's been the advent of, you know, social media existed, but now everybody, you know, grandmas and everybody has a Facebook and stuff like that. And so people have really embraced it. 4 or 5 years ago, it was really just young people and people that were, you know, I wouldn't say on the cutting edge, typically just young people or people that really love technology. Now it's just about everybody. So I'll talk about that. It's totally changed. You can set up a website and literally have traffic and sales or conversions or whatever you're looking for like an hour later. And you could have done that a couple years ago, but it's even easier now. If I have time, I'll talk about that. And if I have time also, well, actually, I'm just going to move right into this next topic because I think this is important. On this show, and I've put up articles, and I've gotten tons of emails. I don't say tons, but I get a couple emails a day, actually, which is more than I get when we talk about social media and other things. Email is still one of the best ways of communication, at least that's what I have found. I get emails about people wanting to start a sports card shop or have questions about that or, you know, the kind of expenses and what you got to do and the steps and stuff like that. And I try to make it clear. I don't know if I've made it clear enough here on the Sports Card Show podcast. You do not want to do that. I would encourage everybody listening right now that wants to turn sports cards into some kind of, especially a store. If you want to go online and that's your goal and you never want to go past online and just stick with eBay or your own www.sportscardswhatever.com, that's fine. But don't ever go past that. Don't ever try to open a store. Don't ever try to do anything crazy like that because, even if you mix in other items, I had a sports card store, but I sold a lot of other stuff. I ran into 2008, which in hindsight, I look back and realized, wow, a lot of businesses went out of business, not just mine. But even without that, even if you're in growing times, kind of like it is, people think it is now, it's still tough. I wouldn't recommend it. I think there's other businesses. My point is, if you spend all that time, money, and energy, just keep sports cards a passion. Pick something else. People drink water every day. People put gas in their car every day. People drive their car every day. People need an apartment to live in. People need food. People need stuff every day. You know, people use their cell phone every day. People use the computer or something like that every day. You want to be in those businesses. Stay away from how many people, ask yourself the question, how many people you know that collect cards outside of the people you've met in the community? How many casual people you meet every day that collect cards? Probably not that many. But you meet somebody every day that has drank water today or had to put gas in their car or has a car. Those are the businesses you want to be in. The big money, even though there's lots of competition, it's because there's lots of money to be made. And you can carve out a niche and you can always make money somehow, some way. And obviously car companies go out of businesses and gas stations close and bottled water flops on the market or whatever, but there's lots of little businesses in there. There's tons of 7-Elevens. There's tons of jewelry stores. There's tons of, just think of all the stores you see around the town. Those are the people that got high margins. So even in rough times, jewelry stores stayed open. You know what I mean? Even though nobody had any money for the last 5 years, apparently, jewelry stores are still open because they're buying gold and they're selling it. A lot of them got burned the last month, but we don't need to go into that. So that's my point. Don't open a card store. Get into a much more profitable venture. You'll be wasting your money. Yeah, even if you become successful in sports cards, trust me, none of these guys are driving Bentleys or Mercedes or live on the ninth hole of the country club. Trust me, none of these guys are. Whereas right up the street, I know a guy that started a website out of the same high school. He went to the same high school I went to. He's like 2 years older than me. Started a dating website, and this guy has a Maserati, a Ferrari, a Land Rover. He literally doesn't live on the ninth hole. He lives on the 18th hole in one of the most premier neighborhoods in my whole town. And it's a dating website. Those are the business. Everybody wants to find love and everybody wants to date and have somebody love them. That's another great business to get. That's probably one of the greatest businesses of all time to get into. People pay a lot of money just to have the opportunity to maybe meet somebody. $30 a month. So real easy business right up the street. That's where his offices are. So there's some free information for you folks. Keep sports cards as your hobby. Love it. Buy and sell cards. Trust me, it's much more fun to buy and sell cards when you don't care about if you're making money or not. So that's pretty much what I do on Check Out My Cards. So let's segue right into that. Check Out My Cards. Really, if you've never used it before, I suggest just start out using it to buy cards that maybe you want, or maybe cards, just a card here and there. Don't go full bore and send them, you know, a 10-pound UPS box of cards you had sitting around. You know, go little by little, because the thing you'll find is cheap. This is, and even this, the guy that set up the whole site will tell you, he is trying to become the cheap card king. He is not trying to sell $20 jersey cards or one-of-one patch cards. He might go into that market a little bit more. But right now, his biggest market and the way he makes money is the less than set, basically $1 card, typically less than that, 75 cent, 50 cent. So it becomes very difficult to send in your own cards to them, because they have about 25 cents a card. And a lot of times you're going to be selling the card for that much, trust me, or less than that. So the way to do it is find people on the site that are actually selling cards for less than 25 cents. And why would they do that? I don't know. I do it a lot because I buy from other people that are doing port sales or had sometimes on the national promo. I know we sent in a lot of cards on the national promo, and we got like a good deal because it needed to get delayed. And the cards literally went on the site for, I think, 8 or 9 cents. So there are sometimes when you can get cards on there very cheaply. But not often. It's about 20 to 25 cents per card to have it listed on the site. So it's just not economical. The stuff that moves on there, even if you had really nice cards, unless you were pricing them right on the edge of eBay prices, sure, you might get some good sales. And we'll talk about, there are some hot players and some stuff that gets kind of hot on there. So we'll talk about that. But there's certainly, more demand on that site for the cheaper cards, the 25 cents, 10 cents. My brother and I have kind of a running kind of, not a joke, but it's kind of just funny that we say Joe's, Jerry's, and Emmett's. Joe Montana's, Jerry Rice's, and Emmett Smith. And you could even throw like Troy Aikman in there. It just seems like those cards sell all day long. We can buy them for 20 cents and price them at 22 cents, and they'll sell immediately. Or sometimes you get a little bit better spread. You buy it at 18 cents and sell it for 25 or something like that. You're not going to make tons of money doing this. Trust me. I say I have $20,000 of sales, but I really think it, minus the cash out fee, there's a cash out fee of 20%. So that always looms over your head if you ever want to cash out or do something like that. I probably made, like I said, only a couple hundred bucks off that whole thing. And I don't have more than $500 in my whole account. A lot of it's still wrapped up in cards. You still have to buy more cards. Or I've bought like an AJ Green recently and bought some cards off some other collectors and stuff for really good prices. Sometimes people do hook me up sometimes. So that's always fun. So that's really why I'm using the site. And I think that's really how it should be used, unless you have a really good way to get cards cheaply. And that's typically you'll have better places to unload your cards and Check Out My Cards. I will say that there are sometimes certain players that are hot on Check Out My Cards. There's some random basketball players sometimes, and I think it's because Check Out My Cards does ship overseas. So I noticed I've gotten Wang Zhiji cards in the past, a basketball player that played a couple years in the NBA, but I almost always sell his cards for almost full book. There was a Laker player, his name goes away from me right now. But there was a Laker player back in the day. You could have bought cards off eBay and then put them on Check Out My Cards, marked them up a dollar or two, and they would sell all day long. And I found that to be interesting. You want to go to, if you go to comc.com and you go to browse, and there's players, teams, brands, and sets. If you go to that, you'll notice, hey, wow, this guy's on the hot list. And you have to kind of look at those hot lists with a grain of salt. Sometimes it's because the guy doesn't have that many cards, or it's because one collector might have came through and bought a bunch of stuff or shipped a bunch of stuff. It's the guys you see up there time and time again you might want to investigate a little bit more. I know Mark Price is a guy. I had a jersey card priced at full books, sold all day. I noticed Cooperstown, Panini Cooperstown Baseball, for some reason, I had some inserts out of $5.99 that I had, and there weren't any on the site, and I priced them full book, and they went, some of them, like, for $8. And it's still numbered out of $5.99. And I think I sold every single, I think I had like three or four of them. And every single one of them sold for full book. So it's amazing. Sometimes cards, certain ones go for a lot more. I think if you list that card on eBay, you're not after, you know, after it all said and done, you're probably not going to get that good a sale. So, but for the most part, it's really a lot of stuff you got to price at 80, 90% off whatever the book value is. So if it's book value is a dollar, realistically, you got to sell the card for 20 cents or less. So it's not feasible to send those cards in yourself. Obviously, you can buy them on the site for 15 cents and sell them for 20 cents, and that's probably your best bet. Like I said, high-end stuff, I send in nice cards, and sometimes I price them right at eBay or under eBay, and they just don't sell. I think basketball and sets that get shipped overseas, the higher end stuff might move a little bit more quickly, but baseball, I have trouble moving jersey cards. Football, I have a really tough time moving mid to high end stuff on there for anything higher than what I could have just kept the card and sold it on eBay. I mean, I don't have a lot of high-end, quote, high-end cards. So I might as well, for the convenience, I might as well just put a scan and put it on eBay. And chances are I'm going to get as much money. And with if you have power seller discounts and all that other stuff, it's always going to work out better for you probably there. But for me, I just like loading up a box of cards and sending it in. I'm not a big pack and ship type guy anymore. I used to be. That used to be what I did every day. But it wears on you and it gets real tiring. So a site like this is convenient for me. And they don't pay me for this. I don't have any agreement with this website. They don't pay me to talk about them. I don't put up their little referral links or anything. I don't make money off them other than the cards that I bought and sold. I'm saying this because I've legitimately used this site and I enjoy it. And maybe you do, maybe you don't, but take it for what it's worth. That wasn't a paid segment. Thought I'd throw that in. Let's move right along to other non-paid segments. Let's see. Let's go to find prospects or buy when they're hot. I thought this was – my brother told me this strategy, and I was like, man, this is like – I didn't really like think about this, but the more I thought about this, the more it makes sense. And I'll tell you why. So let me explain again if you didn't hear in the beginning of the show. There's kind of almost like two strategies. And I'm guilty of only talking about really about one on the Sports Card Show podcast, probably in the all 125 episodes, 126 episodes we've done. You either typically find a prospect, a rookie. You buy him when he's a rookie. Buy it when he was a second rounder and then he started blowing up. Or buy it, when he was in his year one and he got hurt and he bought A.J. Jenkins or whoever. And then he has a good year the next year. Colin Kaepernick sat, I think, his first year and then he played and did well. Did great. So you could either buy him before or buy him when they're hot. And to sell, and this is both to resell. So you're buying them in the beginning or you're buying them when they're hot to resell. And I'd never really thought about, okay, instead of buying Colin Kaepernick in 2012, wait until he got named the starter. Then you start buying them and then you start selling them. And so, it goes with the logic. There's kind of this, like if you follow the stock market, especially right now, it's like perfect time to kind of talk about this, I guess. The stock market's like at all-time high right now, all-time record high, and I still see lots of homeless people begging for money, people need jobs, people, don't have Mercedes and rolling fat, So times are still tough, but we're at all-time high in the stock market, and a lot of it is because of contagion, is because this is when people make the huge mistake, move their money in right now. Or as if you were listening to our podcast, you could go back. This is the one thing you could do. Let's go back, listen to the end of 2008, listen to all of 2009. I'm telling you, this is your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to invest in the stock market. I think the Dow or whatever, the S&P was at 600 or 700 back then. Now it's at 1600. It's gone up 100% and more since that time. It was your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You missed it. Trust me, you missed it back then. It's not going to crash like that again. in your lifetime. You missed that opportunity. But people now make the mistake of jumping in right now when it's at all-time high. Sure, it might keep going up, but you know, you should have been in a couple years ago. You should have seen that. But that's not what people's natural reaction. People's natural reaction is buy when it's hot, because that's when the TV starts talking about it. That's when Colin Kaepernick's on ESPN. That's when Bryce Harper's on ESPN. That's when Mike Trout's on ESPN. That's when everybody wants to buy, is when they're hot. And so it actually makes a great time to buy and sell, is because the guy gets hotter and hotter. Obviously, you run the risk here of the guy kind of getting derailed, especially in football. Football would probably be the toughest one, you know, especially with these quarterbacks. You could have a good week, maybe have a good matchup where you're playing the, no offense, Jacksonville Jaguars or even the Cincinnati Bengals in a lot of days. And even now, we still give up a lot of points and look bad against mediocre teams. There's not that many bad teams in the NFL. So you could have a good matchup and then next week play the Steelers or play the Patriots or play the 49ers and look horrible. So it's tough to do what Colin Kaepernick did. But, you know, those situations do arise. I think they happen quite a bit in baseball. You see pitchers come up. I had my boy Tony Cingarani come out, and then he got sent down. Man, I know there's a listener out there that is feeling very lucky I didn't trade him. Two guys. One guy got DL'd, and the other guy got sent down to the minors. And we had a trade offer going with those two guys. It would have been a brilliant trade looking back now. But luckily for him, and he's a good guy, I wouldn't have wanted that to happen to him anyway. So there's guys that come up and then go down. So I think it's risky either way. You could buy prospects like a top prospect and then he could come up and never pan out. That happens quite a bit in baseball. Happens quite a bit in every sport, and even basketball and football. You go back and look at all the drafts. There's not that many guys in each draft. Back in the day, it looked like there was going to be 20 superstars, 20 Hall of Famers. But then when time goes on longer and longer and longer, you look back and it's like, wow, there's like only one Hall of Famer, only one guy, and he was picked in the second round or something. So it happens quite a bit. But I just wanted to let you know about that. I might have talked about this on a previous strategy, so I might be blowing a little bit hot air right now. But finding prospects before they're hot, I still like that strategy, especially the cheaper ones, because there's not a whole lot of downside risk. If you're buying cards for a dollar or 75 cents or 50 cents or something like that, or you're buying like refractor autographs for $5-6, those still get collected as time goes on, even if the guy's a no-name. Like Bowman Chrome type stuff and really collectible sets. As time goes on, those orange and gold refractors, that's still collectible. You could almost say it could go up if you buy it right. But if the guy pops off, it's worth, you know, a couple $100, especially if it's like a really wins Rookie of the Year or something like that, or wins a World Series. Stuff is worth a lot of money. So I like both strategies now. So we'll try to talk about it maybe as football season comes up. And, you know, we're in the heart of hockey season. Too bad I don't know. I know the Sharks got bounced, and that's the about all. I think the Kings are in the finals, and good luck to the other team. But we got football coming up. We got baseball, and there's some guys now. But baseball really gets tight when the races get tight toward the end, when you got the championship. You know, the pennants are up in the air and teams are playing and all the tension's on all these games because all the teams are only like one or two games apart. So that's when a lot of tension gets put on baseball. So we'll see what happens. Last thing, player worn versus game used. I think I'm going to throw that out maybe. And we'll just go to a break here. We haven't had a break on a show in a while. We're going to have a break because I need a drink of water. And we'll come back. We might talk about some of this other stuff that I might throw out on the break. But when we come back, we're definitely going to be talking about Panini USA Baseball, USA Champions Baseball. And we're going to be talking about 2013 Topps Archives Baseball. Both should be live by the time this hits your earbuds. We'll be back right after this. And we are back. We haven't had a break on this show, I think, in a while. At least I haven't cut in music, like, in between two segments in a while. So, we are back. We're going to be talking about 2013 Panini USA Champions Baseball and 2013 Topps Archive Baseball. Don't have any experience opening these sets myself, but I have checked out some of the cards, so take it for what it's worth. USA Champions Baseball came out on May 29th, right around there. Might have been a day earlier, so 24 packs per box, 8 cards per pack. I have here listed the SRP on these was $70 a box. I've seen it for slightly less, 60-something, 68, 65 maybe. I don't know. So I think this will be around for a while. And the reason why I say that is I see lots of names on autograph checklists with like 3, 4, 5, 6, 700 quantity, and there's different parallels after that. So there's a lot of them around. So I think this might be one of those sets that hangs around a while that you see on those, like, if you subscribe to like Blowout's email or whatever, you might see this set on the specials list. Maybe not dropping too far in price, but because there's actually some interesting. I could be totally wrong about this because there's two things would go against, if you argue against me. I think there's two points you could make. There's these USA Panini certified. This is a weird combination here. I don't know if I would have put Panini certified is a decent brand. I don't know if I would have combined it with this USA baseball, but they put out Panini certified 2012 USA national team autographs. So it's these guys that played on the USA national team. I'll admit, I don't know a whole lot of these guys, but I think the number two here is Chris Bryant. My brother just saw him. I think he's going to be like the number one pick. He's like 6 foot something. He's a big guy as a hitter, and he's got some power, and he plays for one of the teams out here in California, and I think he's going to be like one of the top picks, if not the top pick in the MLB draft. So he's in here. $299 autographs. That's good. And I think there's some other guys in here that I don't recognize yet, but I think they're going to be good, or they're already in the minors, and people will know about. So I've heard of like Michael Lorenzen and some of these other guys, but I can't say that I've seen. Most of these guys are prospects. They were just on Team USA. So that because in future years, this could be a $100 box. If Chris Bryant is like Bryce Harper, this could be a very expensive product. There's lots of inserts in here that really pull on like the heartstrings of like 80s and 90s collectors, and there's a lot of them out there. I know a lot of the focus sometimes, although I've seen it less and less, is like on kids. Really, the market to go after is these people that collected when there were a lot of card shops and when cards were everywhere, when they were on the counter of every, what are now Rite Aids, but back then were something else. Cards were everywhere. They were at every you could see them behind the grocery store. I remember at the grocery stores, they had them back like kind of where cigarettes are now. They were that kind of like that hot. They were back there with tobacco. I mean, talk about – we were talking about business models. Not that I condone or should promote like promoting people to smoke or getting tobacco, but that is just a mat like – I don't even try to invest my money. Like, I try not to even invest in mutual funds and stuff like that that own, like, Philip Morris. And I think they're a different name now. But whatever companies own the tobacco company, I try to avoid them. Even though they pay really good dividends and it is a money machine type business, I try to avoid it. But, so if you don't have any morals on that, do what you want because it actually is not a very bad investment. This set pulls – USA Baseball pulls on the heartstrings. It's got Ken Griffey Jr. The key in this set is it has a Mark McGwire-like autograph I think is in this set. I've seen Ken Griffey Jr. autographs. I've seen Roger Clemens autographs make it in here. So there's some very – yeah, Mark McGwire number out of 25. That's a nice card. Mark McGwire number 73 is these are all in the USA Stars and Stripes. And so, man, Topps, are they going to put Mark McGwire in a set? They're not putting Pete Rose. This set has Pete Rose in it. Are they going to put Roger Clemens autographs in there? Probably not. So there's some ways Panini can get in there. If they could ever figure out a way to get Barry Bonds to get off his bike or whatever he's doing now. If they get Barry Bonds on a set, I think that – I know Barry Bonds would charge a fortune. So they – I don't think Barry Bonds is that interested. But, that would be great for someone out here on California. Everybody else is like, oh, screw Barry Bonds. But there's you know, Robin Ventura's in here. There's just Nomar Garciaparra. I mean, there's no more like quintessential 1990s baseball player than Nomar Garciaparra. Just a lot of stuff in here. There's a little bit of prospects, like I said, guys that are just making their way. And, you know, Addison Russell, my brother's been seeing out here. He plays out here in Stockton for the Stockton Ports, the Oakland A's affiliate and stuff like that. And there's a couple other guys that actually are in this set. So very interesting set. There's these one of six, seven patch cards. So there's some really premium patches like USA, like really nice, like big patches. So those are cool. There's some bat knobs, one of one bat knobs. There are only 13 of those. So if you put one of those, thank your lucky stars. And there's some other stuff in the set. You know, Craig Biggio's, pretty much anybody that played for Team USA in the past, Will Clark, can be in this set. So, very cool. Very cool. Would I run out and buy a box? Absolutely not. For $70, I think you're probably going to get a prospect that may not be good. I'd rather, you know, if the Chris Bryant autograph is less than what it costs for a box, I'd rather just go out and buy his card because apparently he's going to be the top guy. Once he gets drafted number one, it might expose more people to him that might not know about him already. So that's Chris with a K. I think it's K-R-I-S, Bryant, I think. I think I saw that right. Moving on, a set I know a little bit less about because my brother put up this checklist, and that's usually how I get my knowledge about most of my sets. Is that Topps Archives Baseball May 31st? Topps always, you can always, whenever Topps puts out, I always have to put like the hobby release date on mine. I try to like, I don't always do it, but you know, you guaranteed any Topps product that also comes out retail, it always comes out. You always see cards on eBay a week before because they love Target and Walmart, and both will be out of business, you know, I don't know when. Not maybe soon, but they'll both be out of business someday. And maybe most sports card shops are anyways, but some have been around for quite a while, a lot longer than Walmart and Target. Anyways, base set. We just seen Topps Archives Football, and there's always, with their base sets, kind of interesting. They have like they'll have four different card designs from the past, and they'll do a series of like about 100 cards or so, or 50 cards or so, that'll be that set. So 1972 Topps is all like cards number 1 through 50. 1982 Topps is cards number 51 through 100. 85 Topps is 101 through 150. And 1990 Topps, wow, God, everybody has 1990 Topps laying around somewhere. 151 to 200. So very cool. I think it's a very cool way to kind of mix up the base set and make it kind of interesting. It's going to be really colorful when you open up packs of this stuff. It's going to seem like you're hitting an insert card every time, and it might be even kind of hard to like figure out which ones are the inserts, which are different cards, because the cards are going to be so colorful. It's going to be so many different sets all in one pack. So that I think is really, really cool. I think especially retail, if you got a buck or two, or you know, the Blasters, I think are probably $20. You know, for me, if you gave me the choice over USA Baseball or something like this, just fun value, I think I'd have more fun opening this. I think USA Baseball, you'd probably have a better chance at maybe hitting a bigger score, like a Mark McGwire autograph would be a big score. I think even some of those young prospects outside the guy that I mentioned, I'm sure more of them are like people are out there looking for these guys. So be kind of interesting. This is really, really, really similar to the football. So if you're familiar with Topps Archive Football, which just came out just a little while ago, they have the short print cards, which are kind of the high numbers. They have the tall boy inserts, which are pretty cool. And they have like the tall boy autographs, which is a limited, really limited autographs. But there's some good ones in there. You got Cal Ripken, Will Clark, Jonas Cespedes. That's a nice one. And David Wright, Fred McGriff. Interesting. Matt Williams. Wow. So interesting names. And you have like Chris Sale and Eric Davis, who I think is actually playing. Unless that's old Eric Davis, I think. You have a 1972 basketball design insert, so that's kind of interesting. I don't know how maybe baseball fans didn't collect basketball cards. I'm sure they all have. So you got some 1972 basketball designs here. That's pretty cool. And there's a lot of other stuff. There's going to be some cards that are retail. That looks like there's some retail autographs. A list of about 8 or 9. And there's going to be some hobby stuff. Obviously, some of the rare cards are going to be you know like only in hobby packs, or they're going to be easier to get certainly in hobby packs. The cards that get a lot of the attention, the autographs you'll typically hit are the fan favorite autographs, and it's a lot of like guys just like the football, where it, like names don't just like blow out at you. You don't see like, holy crap, you know, obviously Mike Trout's a fan favorite right now, but some of these retired guys, Gary Gaetti, I think that's actually a nice autograph. Fred McGriff's on here again, Eric Davis, a lot of the guys we've seen earlier that are jumping out at me. Yeah, Tim Salmon's on here, Vince Coleman, Sid Fernandez, Ruben Sierra, wow. Mookie Wilson, interesting. Matt Williams again. So there's some interesting names on here. Bob Welch, Bob Tewksbury, I remember him. Benito Santiago, boy, he really got, you should see his physique later in his career. Boy, I wonder how he blew up like that. And there's some other guys here, Brett Saberhagen. So, I mean, not like Mark McGwire or like certainly any of the guys, Sammy Sosa even. I'm waiting for Sammy to get put back into a set. You know, stuff like that. I don't know. This is a lot of the same stuff. The other interesting note I wanted to put on here is my brother put on here is their Chicago Cubs must have had a deal with Topps or wanted to put out some Topps cards, or maybe Topps went to them, who knows. And it's basically like they were giving away to season ticket holders, and it's like an 82 card set, it looks like, of like pretty much everybody on the whole Cubs team. It's all the different kind of cards. And they're giving away, I think all 82 cards might already be on the market. I'm not 100% sure on this. You'd have to go to eBay basically. But I think season ticket holders were given the cards, and then, but over 4 different games from May all the way to August, they're giving away the cards in kind of like, in 15, 20 card bunches to fans at games. So these are kind of interesting. So it's not really part of the Topps archive set, but if you're a super hardcore collector, I think you might want to add these if you're trying to create like a master set of all the base cards and insert cards. You might want to, you know, determine if you want to throw these cards in there. I think for the cost and then over the long run, it might be an interesting set. A lot of season ticket holders might give these to their kids or might put them, you know, in the top drawer and that's where they stay. So obviously some people have been selling them and stuff like that. And as they give it away over the game dates, I'm sure there'll be quite a few more. I mean, there's going to be 30, 40,000 of each one, however many fans they get at Cubs Stadium or whatever. So I think that's kind of interesting. Might want to take a look at that. So we're on to we're at 40 minutes, man. I listen to a podcast. It's like in the poker realm, and it's like 3 hours long. And I was like, oh my God, like every time he comes out, sometimes they're like 4 hours long. I have to like carve out time, and I usually listen to it over several days or certainly in pieces. And so that's why I never tend to try to go for the long podcast. I think 30, 40 minutes, I'm sitting right there in the sweet spot. This might give you a car ride. This might give you, you know, 2 lunch breaks or your lunch break. And that's it. So we'll call it a day. We'll come back. I'll circle some of these ideas that I didn't talk about because I'm always looking for different ideas. And if you have any ideas that you want me to talk about on the show, even if it's something I talked about in the past or even recently, or if you want me to clarify something a little bit more or whatever, or if you think I'm wrong, certainly send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Always love hearing other perspective and certainly ideas to talk about because I'm sometimes running a little dry. And that's why we've kind of dipped into some sets because I haven't had anything to really have a big opinion on or really have anything that we haven't talked about too much recently. But we've had, you know, events to talk about like the Industry Summit and my brother was down at the rookie premiere. So we've talked about some stuff that has happened in the industry. And hey, that's about it. Hopefully everything's going well for you guys. Be careful out there on eBay and out there buying and selling, but hey, have fun too. You know, being careful, being cautious, making sure it's legit autograph, legit patch card, making sure the seller's legit. That's all a part of the steps we have to take, but you know, add that into your fun process. You know, don't feel like, oh, that drags me down. That's something you should do. You should vet every seller, every purchase you buy. That way you continue to have more fun, because it's no fun to get ripped off. Trust me, I have no fun buying something and then not getting it. That sucks. So hopefully all is going well for you. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back soon. Who knows when? Thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.